Now, Phil.
The second light show happened mid-afternoon, okay? Kurt goes into the shed with the rope on when it's over and brings out the gerbil, whatchacallit. We see one of the critters is gone. There's some more talk, some more picture-taking. Sergeant Shandink says, "Okay, okay, everyone as you were. Who's on duty out in the hutch?" Brian Cole says, "Me, Sarge." The rest of us go back in the barracks, okay? And I hear Curtis say to the Sarge, "I'm going to dissect that thing before it disappears like everything else. Will you help me?" And the Sarge says he will, that night if Kurt wants. Kurt says, "Why not right now?" And the Sarge says, "Because you got a patrol to finish. Shift and a half. John Q is dependent on you, boy, and lawbreakers tremble at the sound of your engine." That's the way he talked sometimes, like a piney woods preacher. And he never said engine. Always engine. Kurt, he don't argue. Knows better. Goes off. Around 5 o'clock, Brian Cole comes in and gets me. Asks, will I cover the shed for him while he goes to the can? I say, sure. I go out there, take a look inside. Situation normal. Flyby. Thermometer's gone up a degree. I go into the hutch, decide the hutch is too hot, okay? There's an L.L. Bean catalog on the chair. I go to grab that. Just as I put my fingers on it, I hear this creak-thump sound. Only one sound like it. When you unlatch the trunk of your car and it springs up hard. I go rushing out of the hutch, over to the shed windows, Buick's trunks open. All this, what I thought at first was paper, charred bits of paper, is whooshing up out of the trunk, spinning around like they were caught in a cyclone. But the dust on the floor wasn't moving, not at all. The only moving air was coming out of the trunk. And then I saw all the pieces of paper look pretty much the same, and I decided they were leaves. Turned out that was what they were. I took my notebook out of my breast pocket, clicked out the tip of my ballpoint, and drew this. "It looks sort of like a smile," the kid said. "Like a goddamn grin," I said. Only there wasn't just one of them, it was hundreds. Hundreds of black grins swirling and spinning around. Some landed on the Buick's roof, some dropped back into the trunk. Most of them went on the floor. I ran to get Tony. He came out with a video camera. He was all red in the face and muttering, "What now? What next? What the hell? What now?" Like that. Sort of funny, but only later on, okay? It wasn't funny at the time, believe me. We looked in the window. Saw the leaves scattered all across the cement floor. There were almost as many as you might have on your lawn after a big October windstorm blows through. Only by then they were curling up at the corners. Made them look a little less like grins and a little more like leaves, thank God. And they weren't staying black. They were turning whitish-gray right in front of our eyes, and thinning. Sandy was there by then, didn't make it in time for the light show, but turned up in time for the leaf show. Sandy said, "Tony called me at home and asked if I could come in that evening around 7. He said that he and Kurt were going to do something I might want to be in on. Anyway, I didn't wait for 7. I came in right away. I was curious." "It killed the cat," Ned said, and sounded so much like his paw that I almost shivered. Then he was looking at me. "Tell the rest." "Not much to tell," I said. "The leaves were thinning. I might be wrong, but I think we could actually see it happening." "You're not wrong," Sandy said. I was excited, not thinking. Ran around to the side door of the shed, and Tony, man, Tony was on me like white on rice. He grabs me around the neck in a chokehold. "Hey," I says, let go of me, police brutality. And he tells me to save it for my gig at the comedy shop over in Statesboro. "This is no joke, Phil," he says. "I have good reason to believe I've lost one officer to that goddamn thing. I'm not losing another." I told him I'd wear the rope. I was hot to trot. Can't remember exactly why, but I was. He said he wasn't going back to get the goddamn rope. I said I'd go back and get the goddamn rope. He said, "You can forget the goddamn rope. Permission denied." So I says, "Just hold my feet, Sarge. I want to get a few of those leaves. There's some not 5 feet from the door, not even close to the car. What do you say?" I say, "You must have lost your friggin' mind. Everything in there is close to the car," he says. But since that wasn't exactly no, I went ahead and opened the door.